Stand by, Jerry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Good morning and welcome to another Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. I am your host. So glad to have you with us today. Today we're going to talk about the wacky world of professional wrestling. And I have joined us Mr. Jeff Manning, who is a local promoter. But you, not only do you promote wrestling here, you also do stuff around the country. Is that right?
When they let me out of my cage, so to speak, yeah. I have done some, I'll use the word consulting for lack of a better expression, because I was once told that those that can do, those that can't consult, and I've taken that personally. But I've helped some promoters in Florida, Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, California, tried Colorado, but they said no, I didn't understand that one. Just trying to help people bring wrestling back to what it used to be in the early days, wrestling.
How did wrestling start? Two guys just decided to go at it and entertain people?
You were probably one of them.
I could have been.
It's possible, Terry, but no. Back in the late 1800s, I'm not sure exactly how it started. People have always wanted to.
Well, Doc Nelson was in college back then, so he might know.
I thought he was a postgraduate work at that time. Sorry, Doc. Haven't seen you for a while. People have always wanted to be combative physically, so to speak. It's just, you know, men versus men's always been a big thing. Fighting, showing who the stronger person is. And somewhere, at some point in the late 1800s, at a carnival somewhere in this country, I think two guys decided to have a quote-unquote match to see who was the better person. The expression wrestling is carny is exactly how professional wrestling started way back. I want to say 1880-something.
When it started way back then, you said carny. Are we talking like carnivals, fairs, things like that around?
Carnivals, the state fair type thing.
Would these guys get in there and actually go fist-to-fist?
They would go fist-to-fist. Not necessarily wanting to really hurt each other, although in some cases they may have. They wanted to prove who the better man was in all things male and life, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it.
So wrestling has come, for over 100 years now. Today, it's more of a television show than anything, isn't it?
It is in most cases. I will never, ever knock Vince McMahon with WWE. He has made
He'll
more money.
You
have to catch me first. We're both old, but I can probably out-hobble him still at this point in my life. He's a little older than I am. But all joking aside, Vince has done very well. Whether I agree with his wrestling shows or not isn't the point. We are more of a niche. We try to do the old school, not 1880s wrestling, but kind of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, where it looked more real than it may to some people today. Our television show really has more wrestling matches in 1 hour than Vince does in 2 or 3 hours sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. But that's okay. There's a niche and a market for everybody. I wanted to do one more thing on the carny because you got me sidetracked. Mm-hmm. You're being too efficient today, which is really good. Oh, you said not to be funny yet until later in the show, right? I'm so sorry, folks.
I've known you for years.
Yeah, I can't. I got through, 2 minutes before I couldn't take anymore?
Started taking shots at me, yeah.
I would never do that, no. Carny, there's a talk called carny. Wrestlers talk carny, or in the olden days, talked carny with each other. It was a variation of between English, Pig Latin, and other.
During a match, they have this conversation?
And or if they were out amongst the crowd because they didn't want the fans to understand what they were saying. Yes, some of wrestling has always been predetermined.
Talk some carny for me.
I can't talk carny.
Because you're not a wrestler.
And if I could, I wouldn't.
Okay, all right. What are they trying to say to each other?
Maybe
hey,
decide,
you hurt me that last time.
It could be that, or lighten up a little bit, or come on, show me what you really got. That's just what they did.
Now, I've had the opportunity over the years to see some of your matches up close and personal. There is some talking going on during the matches, isn't there?
Do I have to answer that question?
Well, of course you do.
Yes, there is. Forgive me for clearing my throat. Your water wasn't cold enough. there is talking that goes on during the matches.
Yeah.
And as I just said a moment ago, wrestling is real to a point. I won't show you my scars to prove the injuries I had refereeing for 20 years.
Because, we're going to get into that on our segment.
So I have to save that. Okay.
Yeah.
There is talking going on to make sure there is some, I don't want to use the word choreography either. I'm not really sure what word choice to use. There is some planning to make sure nobody gets hurt.
Right.
But a lot of what goes on in the ring is ad lib. It really is. And there are some wrestlers, particularly in our promotion, who legitimately don't like each other. So we'll make sure they have a match. And it's fun to watch them get beat up. We had one, Adrian Matthews, who's been, he's the good looking kid who put himself through college. He was on a football scholarship and did male dancing at nightclubs to get his entertainment money. His trainer, who was in Denver, Johnny Proof, and he have matches. They like each other, but I don't think in real life they do. And we had a match on TV a while back, and everything short of blood and guts was coming out. They were beating the living blank out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they got back to the locker room, they're kind of like hobbling like old people. So it's real to a point. It really is. Yes, it's entertainment, but it is more real than entertaining, at least with our group.
When I saw some of your matches up close and personal there, I was sitting right there by ringside. Is that what you call it, ringside there?
Yes, sir.
Some guy, what was Adam Pierce, I think was the name.
Oh, yeah.
He came flying over there and landing on the table, taking the table out, taking my notes out, and I thought, that had to hurt. That had to hurt.
I know him.
It hurt me.
He was going to say it hurt you. No, and that's the real part. Things can happen. You could plan a match from start to finish if you were so inclined. We don't like that. And something, you may take a misstep, you may end up slipping, falling, or in the case of Adam Pierce, who at 6'4", 260 pounds in your lap. Do we have a picture of that anywhere, I wonder, in the archives?
No.
Well, of course, this is radio, so we can't see it anyway. What a disappointment. No, that happens, and that is not uncommon at all.
The wrestlers come out, and they're going to do a little bit of jawing back and forth first. Is that part of the shtick, I guess you'd say?
We don't know if it is or not because we don't tell them to do that.
Really?
They are very creative on their own, and as I said, a lot of them really don't like each other.
Yeah.
And we still do good versus evil. You don't usually see two good guys wrestling with each other because it's boring. If you see two bad guys fighting each other, you can go out and see that downtown Salem some night if you want to watch that for free.
The good guys are called babyface.
Babyfaces.
Okay, and the bad guys are?
Bad guys.
Bad guys.
Heels.
Okay. So how does somebody determine, because you're also not only a promoter, but you also, what are you? You're a manager or you're just a...
I used to be. Now I just am one of the commentators on the TV show.
Okay. And you have a different name that you go by.
I have had many names.
And well,
Much as you have in radio.
I've called you a few.
Now who's being mean?
How do you determine, how do the wrestlers determine if they're going to be a good guy or a bad guy? How is that determined? Is that something that management says, hey, we're going to keep you a bad guy? Or, I mean, for instance, John Cena, he's been a good guy for years. Hulk Hogan was a good guy for years until they switched him over. How do you know when it's time to make that switch with one of your wrestlers?
Well, first, to determine who's going to be good and who's going to be the opposite, people's natural personas typically are what they are like in the ring. So you being a charming, wonderful person would be a good guy. You'd be a baby face.
Mm-hmm.
Me, on the other hand, being a rotten human being, ask many people, including Mrs. Manning, I would be a heel. That typically is how we determine who's going to be
okay. But I've told you before, years ago I used to announce the original roller derby, and they had white shirts, red shirts, whether they're good guys or bad guys. And the red shirts, I always loved dealing with them because off camera, they were the nicest people you ever met. And I met one of your wrestlers, I can't remember, Morrow. What was his?
Moose Morrow.
Moose Morrow.
325 pounds of
and
Moose Morrow.
And he's full of tattoos, and he looks like he can eat you alive. Nicest guy I've ever met.
In some cases, people are not what they appear to be in the ring. Some people, much as in broadcasting, are very shy in real life. In cases like that, they get in the ring and they're able to get rid of their shyness and just go out and be whatever they want to be.
People often say, well, wrestling is not real. So I always thought, you know what? Get in a ring with Hulk Hogan for 5 minutes and see how long you can last. He's in his 90s, but I mean, back then, if you were to get into a ring with Hulk Hogan, you couldn't last 5 minutes with him.
You get in a ring with any professional wrestler and tell them it's fake, and you'll walk out of there probably needing surgery or a splint or a lot of Band-Aids.
What is the biggest misconception of wrestling? That it is phony or not phony?
Misconception because, yes, in a way it is not totally real. But the misconception is when you get slammed onto that canvas, you normally have some metal crossbars underneath. You'll have some maybe 1 or 2 inch thick plywood, a wrestling mat, and a canvas. And if you get slammed on that, it's going to hurt, period.
When the wrestlers are, two of them hook up and they both go to the ground and they're kind of just sitting there in a hold, are they really resting? Because, I mean, there's a lot of energy going around in that ring there. Are they using that moment to...
I'm going to let you answer that question for your listeners because I think you just answered it. You don't have to ask me the easy questions because you know the answer.
Look, I need a warm body to fill 48 minutes here. Would you talk?
Wow.
I'm telling you.
That's hurtful.
No.
Now, what was the question again?
I got
me sidetracked.
I forgot what it was now. No, are they actually using that time to, because it does take a lot of energy. You also had a training facility for a while there. I don't know if you still have it.
I still do.
Okay, and I've watched them down there, and it's a rigorous training that they have to go through. You can't just jump into a ring and say, hey, I'm a professional wrestler, because you're going to get your bell rung.
Yeah, you are. It's a lot of work. It's very physically challenging. To answer your earlier question, when they're down there on the canvas, both wrestlers are probably exhausted. It takes two to make anything happen in that ring. And yeah, they might, the guy who quote unquote is in control of the other guy might just kind of sit there. I got to rest. And if he wants to try and get up, let him. I'll just make him sit here.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a lot of what goes. So that is a lot of what goes on out there.
How much control does the referee have?
He is the director in some cases.
Okay.
In many cases, if you're doing a television show like we are, he might have to move people into a better position, as odd as that sounds.
For the camera?
For the camera.
Okay.
I'll give that little tidbit away because it's all about the camera. You've done some television work. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to play to the camera.
Does the referee know who's going to win, or does he have any clue at all?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
When I refereed for other companies, I didn't want to know who was going to win. Mm-hmm. Indeed, they knew who was going to win. And again, sometimes things change in a match, and who maybe is in advance, in theory, supposed to win isn't going to. I didn't want to know what was going on. 20 years I refereed, and I have the injuries to prove it. I didn't want to know because I could legitimately be surprised and do the best job I could, not planning, I've got to count now because this guy has to win. I didn't like to know that.
How long does a match last? A normal match, non-televised, how long will it last?
Anywhere from 5 to 60 minutes. There are still some 60-minute Ironman matches that people do once in a while, but the average is probably 8 to 10 minutes.
Now, Ric Flair used to get out there and do an hour. What kind of shape must he be in to go an hour of that stuff?
Problem with the young wrestlers today and some of the old timers, they want to rush through everything. Rush, 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 hurry, hurry. Let's do our moves. Let's do our thing. And then they realize if the promoter wants 10 minutes for a match, they've only gone 7. What are they going to do now? So Ric Flair and many of the old timers slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
They are more methodical, more emotion when they do it. You can put a headlock on somebody. But back when Sandy Barr, a former local promoter who passed away a few years back, did matches, he could put a headlock on somebody, hold it for 3 minutes, and you never hear anybody yell boring or boo them. It's just the emotion that you do. You can take what could be a 15-second segment and make it go 2 or 3 minutes and still entertain the crowd.
A friend of mine used to work with Vince McMahon and the WWF at the time. When he would tell me that when Hogan would come out, he'd come out and he'd do 9 or 10 minutes just posing and working the crowd. His match would last maybe 12 minutes on a good day, and then another 10 or 12 minutes before he'd leave. And you got a 30-minute match out of him, or 30-minute segment out of him.
Exactly. It's not just about what goes on in the ring. It's how you make your enters. Ric Flair and his robe that he had all strutting and...
Right.
What was the word he used to use? I can't think of the expression.
Woo!
Well, that word, woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, but he would strut his stuff into the ring, and that'd take 4 or 5 minutes. He'd strut in the ring trying to annoy his opponent and get the crowd angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd think about having a match.
And then somebody like the Ultimate Warrior who would come running in there at full speed, and by the time he got to the ring, he was exhausted.
Ultimate Warrior, God bless him, may he rest in peace right now, he looked like he was very athletic, but he wasn't. He had no cardio whatsoever.
Yeah.
Literally, he would run into the ring, and he said he'd be so exhausted, he couldn't have a long match. There'd be no way it would have worked out.
When we come back, let's talk about Vince and the big boys. And let's talk about some of the indies and the territories that they used to have and stuff. And we'll be back with more. Our guest today is Jeff Manning from the, what is it, WCWC World Wrestling?
How about just WCWC Wrestling?
All right, WCWC Wrestling. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM, Salem's original radio station. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 AM, but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 AM for an encore broadcast. Now, if you miss both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming weeks, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for the Terry Saul Show only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today's guest is a wrestling promoter, Jeff Manning, who has the WCWC wrestling promotion here in the Northwest. Let's talk a little bit about the independent wrestling promotions, which is what yours is, compared to Vince McMahon, which he owns, like, what, the world?
He does. Let me, defining independent wrestling versus the big guy, so to speak, is tough, but let me kind of see if I can do this. To me, there is only one big guy right now, and that would be Vince, formerly WWWF, then WWF, now WWE.
Why did he change it?
WWF had to do with the World Wildlife Federation, and they got very cranky with him.
Oh, I think so.
And they decided, although some of the wrestlers are worse than wildlife, literally and figuratively, they opted to change their name to WWE, which is now World Wrestling Entertainment. The other big ones would be Ring of Honor. They're based out of the East Coast. We have Impact, formerly TNA Wrestling, now based out of Toronto. Those are the two big ones. There's New Japan overseas. I can't think of any other major ones right now.
What happened to Ted Turner? Didn't he have a wrestling organization for a while?
He had WCW, and Vince McMahon kindly bought out Mr. Turner because I guess Turner needed the money. His CNN empire wasn't doing too well.
Didn't that happen live on TV? Where it was supposedly...
It was a takeover. Correct. Okay. And that's a lot of things. A lot of places do that. But again, to get back to the big guy versus indies, the big guy has more money than even you have, Terry, which I know is a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
The indies...
Thanks for tipping off the IRS, by the way.
Well, you've tipped them off about me in the past. The indies are smaller financially, although Ring of Honor has a broadcast group behind them. I'm not sure. Impact does have Anthem, the huge Canadian corporation behind them. But they're not necessarily making wads of money. Vince is the major player, always will be. When we had our Paragon Pro Wrestling show out of Vegas... We were considered the number four company.
Okay.
And that just because of finances and things didn't work out. The term indie wrestling, I don't like the term indie wrestling because to me it indicates or you have a perception of it just kind of junk and crap.
Mm-hmm.
I can say crap. I'm sorry if I can't.
No, crap's not allowed. No, we can't say crap on the radio.
I won't say that one.
Okay.
Not maybe the best wrestling in the world run by wrestlers versus business people who may have been in the wrestling game somewhere.
Does that happen a lot where the guy finally retires from wrestling and thinks, okay, now I've done this for 20 years, I'm a promoter now?
Worse than that, guys who are still wrestling who become the champions of their promotion. That drives me up a wall. They're quote-unquote putting themselves over, and I'm sure if
what does that mean, putting themselves over?
Making themselves the star of the show.
Okay.
It's really tough when you have talent maybe better than you, and yet you want to be your champion indefinitely. There's a guy that worked for us. I won't mention the name. I like the guy very much. He's one of the Canadian guys that we used to use. He's been running a very successful indie promotion out of, I believe it's Winnipeg or somewhere up there north of the border. And he has been the champion of his promotion like 7 of the last 8 years. And he told me one day, well, I've got to do this because nobody can make the promotion look strong as champion other than me.
Do you believe that?
No, because I know some of the people that work for him and they are as good or better. And it just, he wants to be the star of his own company. Some people start a company, a wrestling company, so they can be their own star.
I'm thinking of buying a radio station and calling it KSOL, KSOL.
And your point?
Really didn't have one. I just thought I would bring that up. So do you ever go to some of the other independent matches and watch them just to see how they're
doing? I don't much anymore, but when I was consulting, I used to have to go and help them with little things. It's hard for me locally to go because then people think, oh, what is Jeff doing here? Uh-oh. Or if somebody comes to one of our shows, one of the promoters, and I will always let them in. They can hide in the locker room. We can hide in the back room and just chit-chat. They can watch on the monitor if they want. It just feels funny going somewhere that I watch and, God, I wouldn't. Have done that. Oh, come on, they could have done that better. But I say the same thing about us when I watch our TV shows particularly. It's like, why did we do that?
Are you your worst critic?
Well, you know that answer from having
Well, no, I used to criticize you quite a bit.
Well, okay, one for Terry. Yes, I am. I was critic. Always have been when I was in broadcasting for years, well before you were even born, probably. And we do those air checks, and I always critique myself there. I do it on the shows, and I eat myself alive sometimes when I see something that we could have done better.
Do you know a lot of the other promoters?
I know most of them. I try to be friends with most of them. It doesn't
always work. So none of them like you?
I didn't say that.
Well, I can read between the lines.
But not really. They get mad. We have been in business longer than anybody else. We are in almost 14 years old now.
Really?
TV is 4.5 years. They said it would never last. I was hoping they would have been right years ago. I'd be a lot wealthier and a lot less stressed.
Is it expensive to put a show on?
That's a one-word answer, yes. It was a yes or no question.
What's the most expensive part about putting a show on?
The local show, our local Salem show that is not televised, the talent.
Why is that?
Because that's pretty much all that's most of our expenses, paying the guys. We actually pay the wrestlers.
Okay.
I know we didn't pay you much back then, but we do pay the wrestlers.
Oh, I didn't make enough to pay attention.
I knew that.
You knew that was coming.
But then on the TV show, because we bring in a lot of people from out of the area, so our TV will look different. And we get a better wrestlers who've been around longer, who are just frankly better in the ring. And that's the biggest expense on a TV show, honestly, is bringing in the wrestlers.
Okay, and where do you bring them in from? All over?
Usually off an airplane.
I figured that part.
Okay. Yeah, we have wrestlers from Boston.
Really? They'll fly across
Fort
country?
Fort Lauderdale. And yes, their arms are tired. Chicago, Minneapolis, Texas, Nevada, L.A. The guys from Washington can drive. It's only a 2 or 3 hour drive if there's no traffic.
All right, so how many wrestlers are on your roster? Does it change?
It varies. A typical show will use between 20 and 26 wrestlers.
Really?
Yeah. Right now, we tape 4 episodes a day, 2 days, every other month. So every other month, we take a weekend and tape 8 one-hour shows for television.
Okay. And then how long does it take you to piece that together as far as you're going to be sitting in a room someplace with probably RJ or somebody and say, okay, this is what we want to do on the show, or this is what we want to try to establish?
That's all done in advance. We have a team that assembles what we're going to do, what the matches will be like, any segments we're going to do, any interviews, any little bits that would be to kind of enhance a match and a storyline that we're doing. That's all done in advance. In theory, before the day of the show, sometimes the morning of the first taping on Saturday, we're running around Lost doing some last-minute fixes. But then it's just up to the editor. We try to do live to tape, and it works 85% of the time.
Yeah. Who's allowed in the locker room?
Very few of us.
Really?
Just the wrestlers, referees, the absolute people, the only people who are going to be actively involved in the show. No spouses, no friends, no nothing.
Does it ever get out of control in the locker room?
All the time.
Does it really?
Absolutely.
The referees, do they have the authority in there, too, to get in there and say, all right, calm down, save it for outside?
No, I do.
Okay. There you go. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest, Jeff Manning from the WCWC Professional Wrestling. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. When we come back, we're going to talk about injuries and behind the scenes.
Check it out, Terry Saul and the Macho Man Randy Savage, tag team partners for life. Nobody can beat us.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. Now on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM.
Good morning. We are back on the Terry Saul Weekend Show. This is Salem's original radio station, KSLM. I am your host, Terry Saul. Today we're talking with Jeff Manning from the WCWC. And Jeff, you brought your guest in today is RJ, who is the Director of Marketing and Media. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Terry.
What do you do?
What do you do? I really have no idea.
Because I asked Jeff when you walked in, I go, who's this? And you just said, I don't know, he hangs around with us all the time. What do you do?
Well, in this business, we all wear many hats. My title is the Director of Media and Marketing, and I'm also lucky enough to be the television ring announcer.
Okay.
So my job is to help spread the good word of WCWC, try to put some butts in seats and let everybody know what a great product we have here and try to keep it growing.
Can't say butts, by the way.
I apologize.
You can say with a single T, not a double T.
Let's talk behind the scenes, Mr. Manning. Let's start with the show, the day of the show. How long does it take to set up that ring?
Let me give you from start to finish.
Give me start to finish.
And we'll do it on TV day because that's more exciting. You've never been on TV, huh? You were on TV, weren't you?
Yeah, we did a few things on TV.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
You always showed the back of me, though.
Well, there's a reason for that. Okay, so what we say is call time when everybody has to be arriving, kind of like a cattle call. Everybody,
right.
You know, get
right.
there at 8 o'clock, and the ring crew and our academy students need to get the ring set up. At the same time, our guy that handles all of the production part, we have a real production truck now and everything. It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's right in there. They have to start getting wires laid, lights hung, et cetera, et cetera. At 8:30, the wrestlers, those whose flights have made it in on time and or the day before, and any of the local wrestlers need to be in the building, pardon me, ready to go, as it were.
8:30 in the morning?
8:30 in the morning.
Lord.
You never got up before noon.
I didn't know there was an 8:30 in the morning.
There is. They start getting ready to do any of the pre-tape promos. You'll see some segments and what we call canned promos on mm-hmm. a TV show. And they'll start getting involved with those. We have our production guys are now showing up, usually looking like you half awake,
mm-hmm.
Trying to function and get everybody where they have to be. That runs until, I would say usually 11, 11:30.
Is the ring set up by then?
It better be. Yes,
okay.
It normally is, unless something is broken, somebody didn't show up, somebody can't find the bungee cords to hold the canvas, one piece of wood might not have fit correctly, a lot of things that can go on. Then we have what we call an agenting meeting where the wrestlers, and now we do it all in one big group, all 25 of them or so, and the referees go in the room and meet with a gentleman by the name of D'Lo Brown, who you might recall from the Nation of Domination years ago in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
He is he's our director, actually, in the back, and he makes sure that the guys know what they're doing out there, and typically he has a headache by the end of the day because it didn't work out that way. And good old Grappler 3, Eric, is my head booker. He kind of assembles the matches, and then Jeff Aiken's been with us for 3,000 years. They go over with the guys what's supposed to happen, make sure everybody knows what match goes where, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. While some of that, I should say, before that 11 o'clock meeting, the guys are in the back. A lot of them are working out. We are fortunate right now to be at the Camp Withycombe Armory up in Clackamas.
Okay.
And there's a huge gym that serves as our locker room, and the guys are allowed to use the equipment. So you'll see some of them trying to impress everybody or each other with how muscular they are, you know, that kind of stuff. We'll be doing those pre-tapes, those pre-production segments are going on at the same time. After the 11 o'clock meeting, then the management team, less me, because I don't want to know what's going on in advance. I just know the concepts, and we pray it works out. They're having an additional meeting just to make sure that everybody knows we need to have certain camera angles in this match. Camera's got to be here at a certain time. Don't have it here, et cetera. For example, there may be what they call a spot. A spot can be defined as a major event within a match where maybe somebody's going to go flying out of the ring and hopefully not land on the ring announcer because mm-hmm. he's about a 30-year size and he would crush more easily than you did. If Adam Pearce were to fall on him, he would be dead meat. So they're doing that. And then we pretty much start with a pre-show. I do have a character's name. Is it too soon to mention my character's name?
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of what's going on here behind the scenes.
Okay, so we'll just say your character.
My character goes out and spins the wheel of his character name. We give away prizes and cash and do some other stuff to get the crowd up. Then RJ comes out after he has to repair the damage I've caused, and we start the show.
Do the fans like you?
At times.
Okay, so they don't like you.
Well, they do when I'm giving away money and prizes.
Well,
otherwise, my theme song is Adam's Family theme
yes.
song. So when we hit the music, before you even come out through the curtain, sometimes they're booing. They're not very nice, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I will insult a few of them to try and get them excited, you know. And then we'll give away money, tickets, merchandise, a date with Terry.
Mm-hmm.
We actually gave away a dinner date with me that I have to actually doing next week. It could have been a couple of cute girls. Now I get two of the older guys. I mean, it's just my luck. They spin the wheel and make the deal, as we say. And I have a Vanna White comes out with me, or a Vanna White lookalike. It's usually one of the guys.
Yeah.
So I'm getting
Bruno.
Bruno.
Vanna's brother, Bruno. When does the actual first match take place there on a
right now we tape the real matches as opposed to the fake matches. The matches start at 1:30, run till about 5:30.
Okay.
So we're taping four 1-hour shows.
They're putting in a full day.
Yep. We're done at 5:30 by the time we have a post-show meeting and get together. It's now 6 o'clock. It's a 10-hour day.
Yeah.
And as you can well imagine, I think the FCC rules have changed. Some of my guys enjoy their evenings.
Yeah.
So they're not always really wide awake when they come in at 8 and they're
pretty well. Feeding them?
We feed them. We have.
Well, that's a switch.
We give them donuts for those who don't want to. Well, it's a special donut. I won't mention it. It's a client of ours, and I don't know if they're a client of yours. I don't want to give them a free plug on the station.
Give them a free plug.
Voodoo Donuts gives us donuts.
Oh, I like
for the
their
boys.
Donuts.
They're wonderful.
Those are good donuts.
Yes.
Try their glazed twist.
Very good.
Okay. Did you bring me one?
No.
Okay.
I brought you a hat.
Well, it's used.
And look how beautiful it is on you. No, it's a new hat.
It has sweat marks all over it.
Well, I picked up the wrong one.
It's a used hat.
Did I really give you a used one? Here, I'll take it back and give you.
Do you see the sweat marks on this?
No,
thing?
I can't see them. RJ, do you see any sweat marks there? RJ, help me out here.
There's quite a bit there. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll...
You know, what's really funny is you're wearing this very nice, good-looking hat, and then you bring me in this shoddy, ragged old thing with sweat marks all over
it. You let a wife pick out a piece of merchandise, and look what happens.
Well, you know, and I always liked your wife.
You want this hat? It's warm, but it's prettier.
No, it's been on your head. Forget it.
Anyhow, so we give them donuts. We give them pita sandwiches and pizza from some sponsors.
So
we got sidetracked with the hat.
Yeah, I didn't. I was going to say something earlier about it, but I thought it'd be nice. What kind of crowds are you getting?
Do I have to answer that question?
Uh-huh. Truthfully.
Not as good as I would like. Our Salem house show.
What's your biggest house been?
Let me go. You asked me a question. Let me answer it.
Well, hurry up and answer. I don't have all day.
We've got a few minutes in this segment, probably, I hope. RJ over here is the one who's built our local Salem shows. The capacity in that room is about 250. We've been close to that the last two or three shows.
Nice.
Wonderful. Our capacity for the TV tapings, unfortunately, is larger than that. And generally, we're in the 2 to 250 range, but we had a rough weekend last weekend, or two weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that is being caused, I think, by too many promotions in the area.
Really?
I was on the phone with the Athletic Commission as before we did this interview and having a discussion with the number two lady. I'll be talking to number one. We're licensed as promoters to be able to run shows. We have to pay, I'll be honest, $500 a year plus 6% of our gate to run shows.
Does Vince pay that too?
Vince pays the same thing.
Well, then they're making some money off of him.
They're making a lot of money off of him. They're not off of us. Because there are so many local promotions, I don't think anybody financially is doing well up in the Portland area right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's one company runs every week. Some run every other week. There's others that come in sporadically. Again, it's a business decision we have to make. Do we want to stay in Portland? Do we want to move the TV to Salem? Do we want to leave the state? I have no idea. We're going to be
But you've also done stuff in Vegas, don't you?
We did Vegas for a year and a half, and again, it came down to, okay, we're not, we don't want to lose money, so we're going to yank the show off the air. It's real simple. You got to do what makes financial sense. As I said, I'm not the richest guy in the world. I wish I were. I could retire like I tried to 5 years ago. It didn't work. I'm still doing this. But you got to run it like a business, and that's, again, why a lot of the wrestlers who become promoters, they'll run for a few months and shut down because they don't understand.
Are these wrestlers doing this full-time, or is this just their 15 minutes of fame on a weekend that they're trying to get away with?
Some of each. You may know the name Gangrel. He was with WWE for years. Mm-hmm. He's worked for us for about 4 years now. He wrestles full-time.
Okay.
Another one some people may have heard on the independent scene is Colt Cabana. He wrestles full-time, has a...
Wasn't he Roddy Piper's son or something?
No, that was Colt Toombs.
Okay. I knew his name was Colt.
It was Colt. You were close.
Yeah.
Colt Cabana has worked for me a couple times. He wrestles a lot of almost every weekend, but he also has Pro Wrestling Tees. I'll give him a plug.
Okay.
Which is an online t-shirt place. It probably makes him triple what he makes wrestling, but it's full-time business for him. So very few people, if you're not working for WWE full-time, are really working full-time.
What do they make? Any idea what they make?
WWE?
Yeah.
Some of them make seven figures. I would say their top 8 or 10 probably make between $1 and $5 million a year.
Really?
I'm just guessing. I know they make seven figures.
What's Low Man make? Any idea what the Low Man on?
Low Man will be what they call their extras, who come in to either be a security guy for somebody famous, or they'll have little... I saw a dance segment one time. They'll make a couple $100 for that. And I'm only sharing because people have told me what they make.
Is their dream of Vince will spot them and say, hey, you know, this guy's pretty good. Let's put him on.
Oh, I'm going to really annoy people with this one, but I'm going to do it. People that are chosen as extras rarely make a full-time roster.
Really?
The reason for that is Vince and his people know if they go to various cities, they have people they can use in those cities to fill these limited roles that aren't full wrestling.
Okay.
Most people who do that will not get beyond that, with rare exception. Vince knows who he's going to want pretty much for full-time. He has scouts. He has people all over the country looking at wrestlers. And then they'll do tryouts in Orlando and maybe go to NXT first, generally speaking, then up to the main roster.
Do you have scouts? Do you... go out and check out different wrestlers and see how they do? Or
I'm a former referee. I can't see, so I would be a bad scout. We do have people that go to various shows. I do go to, again, when I'm consulting, I was just at a show called WrestleCade. It's kind of like a WrestleCon or Comic-Con type show with some three shows. A couple of our guys were on one of the three shows. And I look at some of the guys out there to see if some of them might be good for us.
Our final minute or so, let's talk about some injuries. I remember seeing you walk into a radio station, Brand X, where we used to be, and you came in there with a pretty good little shiner one day. I said, what happened to you?
Adam Pearce punched me out in Hollywood.
That's what you said. I got too close to the ring. I go, what are you doing that for? And you got a shiner. Real.
I have, in my last 7 years of refereeing, I had 5 orthopedic surgeries, 3 on my left knee, a broken ankle, and a rotator cuff.
And this is fun for you, huh?
It was a joy. So when people say, is it real? I'm not going to show you my scar, but you get injured, whether you're a referee, a wrestler, a manager, or sometimes a ring announcer, or just the guy ringing the bell.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more. We're just getting warmed up, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Good morning. We are back with our final few minutes today. Our guest has been Jeff Manning from the WCWC. We're talking professional wrestling. Joining Jeff is RJ, who is the Director of Marketing Media.
Yes, he is.
That's a big title.
Before we get to RJ, because he's got a lot of important things to say, and if I don't let him say enough, he'll probably fire me, which wouldn't bother me. We were talking injuries real quick. We had one of our wrestlers in a match, what we call the dark match, which we run on YouTube. It's kind of to test the cameras, make sure everything is working.
Sure.
Separated his... What muscle is this, RJ? Help me out.
The pectoral.
His pectoral came unattached.
Ooh.
And he was out for 9 months. And he was the one I mentioned earlier that was a football player in college, et cetera, et cetera. One of our guys we just used on television the first time did something to his ribs. And he was back at WrestleCade, and he was hurting. So the injuries are real in this business.
So when somebody gets hurt, how do you know? How do you know in the ring, because they're trying to stay in their character, how do you know they're hurt?
Okay, you can tell
to either end the match or...
tell if they're screaming for real or not. It hurts. Although Adrian Matthews finished his match. He had 3 more minutes with the dangling, and he still won the match. But speaking of injuries, I'm going to be mean to RJ, but I love RJ to death. He knows where I'm going with this. RJ wanted to be either a wrestler or a referee. I forget what he wanted to do. He was
a referee.
And he, twice in his training at our academy, hurt himself. You can tell everybody.
How'd you get hurt?
As part of being the referee, you also have to learn how to fall down and be safe about it. And
why do you need to fall down? You're a referee.
Well, sometimes the referees are a big part of the match where perhaps maybe something happens to them where they're distracted, they get knocked out, and they're not seeing what's going on. We got to be able to make sure that we look like, even though the injuries are pretty darn real because those wrestlers are big and the referees are small, but we got to do our best to make sure it's looks real.
Do the wrestlers like you? Do they like the referees? I don't mean you personally, because I don't like you right now, but do the wrestlers like you?
From what I've noticed, the wrestlers really love the referees. It's a very symbiotic relationship. They're the three people in the ring. They must...
Symbiotic?
Yes, they got to rely on each other. The match cannot go without the three of them working together. I'm sorry.
I'm throwing these big words in here.
But you still didn't say what happened to you.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I was learning how to roll and fall and bump, as they say, and I did not do a good job. I ended up breaking my collarbone.
Oh, come on.
Broke my collarbone just falling in the ring here, and I did it wrong.
And why are you laughing?
Because it happened to somebody other than me is why I'm laughing.
Wow.
But, you know, there is a silver lining there where, because of that, I wasn't able to participate in learning physical stuff in the wrestling ring as a referee, so I continued to attend class and participate in promos and learning how to speak and give the speeches, and that was where Jeff noticed that I had another skill, and it set me on the path of ring announcing.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
As long as you stay out of the way from those wrestlers.
Uh-huh.
We did a couple of things together years ago, and the only rule that Jeff told the wrestlers was leave the announcer alone. Remember that? Yeah. Don't touch the announcer.
They could push me around, but they couldn't go near you.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case anymore.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Because did you hear what Jeff said about you? And they go after him. So you do the in-house announcing or the television announcing?
I do both.
Okay.
Yeah. Started in the our house shows here in Salem, our live events, and cut my teeth there and honed my craft.
Not literally, just
kind of. No, not literally, no. Just learning how to ring announce in professional wrestling, and after much practice, and of course, wonderful tutelage from the great Jeff Manning here, I got the opportunity to be the full-time announcer on television, which I'm very, very blessed to do.
And also Pat Kelly. You still have Pat with you? He's been around for...
When we get him out of bed, yeah, he's still with us. Yeah. We love Pat.
He's been in radio for years. He still does a golf show, doesn't he?
No, he that station was bought out by another one of the big corporates, and his golf show is no longer.
You have a character... Who I personally...
Before my character, I know RJ has something he really wants to talk about briefly here.
All right, real quick with our final 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I want to let us know, going on this weekend, as you know, we have our second annual Hunger Slam fundraiser.
What is that?
It is a 25-hour marathon wrestling fundraiser. 25 hours.
Straight.
And it's going to be at the Scottish Rite Center here in Salem.
Yeah.
It's going to be Saturday the 1st, and it starts at 2 p.m. The mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett's coming out for the opening ceremony. He came out last year for our first one, had a good time, wanted to come back and be a part of it again.
And it got him reelected, if you note.
That may have been a factor, yes.
Morty's here.
But it is going to go from 2 p.m. on Saturday. We're going to wrestle all throughout the night. We're going to give free copy to our friends. It's going to be the greatest slumber party ever, and it's all to benefit the Marion Polk County Food Share, our regional food bank.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to interrupt you here. Who's going to be out there wrestling at 3:30 in the morning?
Well, I tell you, we have over 50 wrestlers who are donating their bodies and time and talent to do this. And it was our first time doing it last year. It was a unique event.
Will people stay there all night long and watch it?
Yes, absolutely. We got people bringing their pillows and everything.
We actually had 14 fans stay inside the entire time.
Really?
All 24 plus hours.
There's so much buzz about
Do you stay there the entire
time? Two of us stayed awake the whole time. The Rock God, Ricky Gibson, and myself were the only two to stay awake all 24 hours last year.
Wow.
RJ got about a 20-minute nap, but that broke his string.
That's amazing.
It's a very unique fundraiser for a very cool cause.
It starts today at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And it runs. Now, that's if you're listening to us on Saturday. If you're listening to the Sunday broadcast, it's still going on right now.
It is still going on, and we'll be down there till 3 p.m.
Okay.
In the afternoon.
What's the price to get in there?
It is $10 for a ticket.
That's for the whole 24 hours?
You can go in and out?
In and out.
Really?
You can go home, walk the dogs, you know, have some dinner, come back, watch some more wrestling. We just want people to have a good time and make as much food and as an impact as we can for the food chain.
All right, so what do they need to bring in? Just any kind of non-perishable food?
Exactly. They're bringing in 3 cans of food. They're going to get $2 off. It's only $8.
What do you charge for children?
$10.
$10?
$10 for this show. Our normal shows are, we have discounts, of course, for the
children. This is a fundraiser, so everybody pays one.
You have merchandise and stuff?
We have some special t-shirts, Lord willing, and UPS. They'll be here Friday.
Okay. That's going on right now at Scottish Rite. I know where I'm at. You're not going to help me out, are you?
Mm-mm.
No. Scottish Rite Temple Center, whatever that
you
is
got
over
it.
There.
It's on South Commercial.
Okay. Let's talk about...
Morty.
Oh, jeez.
You brought him up.
No.
I wasn't even... RJ.
You have this... hand me that paper right there, by the way. So you have a different character that you bring in every now and then. And one of them is called... His name is Morty. Now, he used to be an attorney or a...
He still is. Part of the firm of Lipschitz, Lipschitz, and Lipschitz. I forget my brother's names. They both died. I think it was Morty, Marvin, and somebody else.
Simon.
Whatever.
And you're not a nice guy.
What do you mean I'm not a nice guy?
You know what?
I'm putting up with you for an hour.
Well, see, but I've seen you come into these wrestling matches here, and you're mean to children, and you're mean to little old ladies. We had one of your fans bring us in an apple pie here before we started here, and you're just mean. Why?
Because I can be. I'm not mean. I merely have a different outlook on life. As I said,
it sucks.
Before the show, I love you too. Before the show starts, my theme music from the Addams Family hits, the crowd screams and boos, and it hurts me. And they boo and hiss until we do the Wheel of Morty.
Yeah.
We spin the wheel for prizes. They might win up to $150. They might win $1. They might win $50. They might win tickets to shows.
Boy, you're a big spender.
The problem is when I hit the dollar, or when they hit the dollar with the spin, everybody boos.
They probably want to throw in a dollar to try to boost it back up some more.
They make me let them spin a second time or until they get a decent prize. Then the crowd loves me. Then when I'm done with that, we want RJ. We want RJ. Well, goody for them. You can have RJ.
See, he doesn't
done.
He doesn't like you either.
I'm done. You can finish interviewing RJ. I've had enough of you. Just kidding.
I don't want to talk to him anymore. RJ, again, we've got a big thing, Hunger Slam 2. It's going on right now at the Scottish Rite Center, which is located over there on South Commercial 4090. And if you get a chance, get on in there and check it out. A lot of fun wrestling going on. Real quickly, with the last 45 seconds or so that we have here, how do they get in touch with you folks? Is there an
Absolutely.
Email or is there a website?
Our website is wc-wc.com.
Okay.
You can email us there at info@wc-wc.com. Also, you can find us on social media everywhere at the WCWC. You can find us on Facebook, find all the event information as well there, and see live updates of what's going on.
And they can call me, collect.
Like you'll take the call. Are the wrestlers friendly with the fans? I know before you used to always make sure they were out there and be available for pictures and autographs. Are they friendly with their fans?
Absolutely. They're marketing themselves.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, there's a fine line there with their characters. However, you know, they're independent contractors. They know that they're not going to make any money unless they connect with the fans. And I think that's a huge part of an independent contractor's business, especially in wrestling.
Hunger Slam 2. It's going on right now at the Scottish Rite Center. Head on over there. Watch some wrestling. You'll have a good time there today. Thank you, RJ. It was nice having you here. And it was great having Jeff Manning here. And
well, Jeff's back. Thank you so much for the opportunity and the time.
We
really appreciate it.
Jeff. Just don't even bring that other guy with you.
Okay.
All righty. You guys come back and see us again sometime.
Thank you, Terry.
We are just about out of time this morning. A big thank you to our special guests. You can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. See you next time.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.